You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Tom, the Edmonton Oilers are 7-1. They find ways to win, even if they don't bring their A game. They end up winning by 3 goals over a Seattle team. And, you know, Edmonton just has more talent. And I kind of want to talk about Leon Draisaitl a bit. There's been so much on McDavid, and rightfully so. But here you have kind of a quiet night for McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl explodes for 4 points. And him and McDavid are now tied atop the scoring race with 17 points in 8 games.
A nice reminder that he was, at one point, not long ago, the MVP of the league, the leading scorer in the league, and remains one of the best players in the league. And it's kind of nice when the best player in the world, you know, we agree, Connor McDavid is, has a quote-unquote off night. You have another guy that's pretty damn good, too, and he shoulders the load, helps get a struggling winger going. Nice play to Yamamoto. And it's a luxury that the Oilers do have and possess, and they paid dearly for it with years of poor hockey, and then finally some good drafting and development has led to this. And Gregs, if Leon Draisaitl was on any other team, he'd be their number one center. He would be their perennial all-star. He still is, obviously, in Edmonton, but this guy is a driver. And last night was one of those examples where he shows you it's not always 97. 29 can do it on his own, and the light shines bright on him as well, as it should.
Well, it's kind of surprising, really, when you think about it. You got two players on your team, 8 games into the season, they're both averaging over 2 points a game. And obviously, that's going to give you a good opportunity to win. Then you throw in the fact that your power play is 46% and your penalty kill is 91%. There's not a lot to be concerned with. I know people, the fourth line's getting caved. Well, they barely play. Right? So, yeah, sure. Like, Devin Shore is getting caved. He's on the goal, on the ice for 1 goal for, 2 goals against. It's not, would it be ideal if every line was getting outscoring 100%? Right? Yeah. I'm also somewhat, I'm very understanding of players who only get to play 8 minutes a night. Suddenly, when you play a few more minutes, I don't care who you are, it's easier to stay in the rhythm and the flow of the game. And I did mention, I think you will see the minutes of the fourth line go up here because the frequency of which the Oilers are playing games is going up. And I just don't think he's going to be relying so much on lines. There might be the odd game for sure, right? Like on Friday night, if they wanted, they could do that because they play Friday, but then they don't play again until Tuesday. So I think you'll see the odd time where, you know, schedule and fatigue and everything else does become a little bit of part of the coaching factor. But really, like, there's not a lot to be overly concerned with about this team right now.
The fourth line getting caved in a little bit. I mean, they are the fourth line. They got one back last night, too. That was a really nice goal. Those are veteran guys, and we've said it consistently. As long as the fourth line is doing a decent job of spelling off the other three lines, giving them time to rest up and not getting caved, then in general, that's good. When they're chipping in offensively, that's great. When they're doing what they need to do on the PK in a guy like Devin Shore, good. Last night, overall, though, Greg's a lot of sloppiness. Even on the back end, we heard Dave Tippett today talking about, hey, that was a down game for Evan Bouchard. And we talked about it on the post-game show. Ebbs and flows. They get the result. We're going to nitpick. It's what we do. But they get the win, and they move on and look to Nashville now and then New York on Friday. And they've found themselves in a really good situation. So, you know, I think with us talking about these types of situations, it sure as heck beats the chaos of what we had been covering, you know, 4 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, where it was gloom and doom. And I think we found ourselves in a good place right now, and I don't mind it whatsoever. So bring it on. If we're going to nitpick, that's great. The results are there. It's fun covering a team that's winning, though.
Well, I think it's okay to look at things. And hey, I've said it this way. Evan Bouchard, he struggled last night. There's no question about it. And that's fine. Sure. But that's the only time you can say that all year. So if Evan Bouchard, who's essentially a rookie, now I know he doesn't fall into the category of a rookie by NHL standards because he had 2 seasons in a row of playing 6 games. But to me, so you could have a player who has played more NHL games be considered a rookie because he only played 20 in 1 season. So it's kind of an odd thing. He still hasn't played 30 NHL games. And so if Evan Bouchard has one night every, you know, 7 or 8 games here all year where he has an off night, man, you should be doing cartwheels over that because he's a rookie who plays a lot of minutes. So, you know what? And if his off night comes in a game where the Oilers win 5-2, even better. Like, it's not one to be overly concerned with, because Evan, like, I love what Dave Tippett said. He goes, Evan Bouchard came in this morning and was not happy with his game. And I've always said that. Like,
great.
You know, you don't need a media person or a fan to say, oh, hey, that guy didn't play well. The players know, and trust me, they're 10 times more annoyed than you are, because it's their livelihood and it's their job, and they want to be better. And so I'm looking forward to see how Evan Bouchard plays against the Predators, because I won't be surprised if you see Evan Bouchard have just like be very, you know, impactful in his play tomorrow night.
Good. Learn from your mistakes. They're going to happen, especially like you said, with a guy that's played not even 30 games. And that's how you learn and get better. You make mistakes, and they're going to happen. And you know what? You could even slide that to Yamamoto, too. He finally gets off the schneid. Still a young guy. Still trying to find his groove and confidence. And when they're winning, that provides a bit of a safety net for them to work out the kinks, if you will, as they try to ascend in the National Hockey League.
Looking around the NHL, I wish it was the 80s where the Oilers and Flames played like 8 times a year now, because both teams look like they're good. And, you know, they do play 4 times, but the Oilers and the Flames don't play this month, November. They don't play again actually until after Christmas on December 27th. So there'll be a lot of time. You know, we'll see them doing some scouting, because Nashville's in Calgary tonight. Of course, then Edmonton plays there. Then the Rangers play in Edmonton Friday. Then they're in Calgary on Saturday. And that's usually kind of what happens in homestands later on. But I'm kind of intrigued by the Battle of Alberta, Tommy. With every passing day, I'm like, you know what? This could be intense for something that a lot of fans just haven't experienced.
I'm still waiting for like the clock to strike 12 on the Flames. I don't know why. Call me pessimistic, but they're 5-1 on the road. Put together a phenomenal road trip. Their only regulation loss, Greg's, came against the Oilers very early in the season. And now we're watching the Golden Knights suffer through more injuries. We see the William Karlsson injury, keeping him out with the broken foot for 6 weeks. And I'm looking at the Pacific, and it's San Jose that's the next closest. And I don't believe in the Sharks either. And this is surprising. It might be, by the time we get to the next Battle of Alberta, a tantalizing matchup, but I'm still kind of waiting to see if this really does last. Good on them for putting together this 6-game winning streak and getting hot on the road. But I'm looking at them with a side eye going, is this for real? Or are we going to be talking about a Flames team that drops off by Christmas? So we'll see how it goes. But it would be nice to see them fighting for top spot in the Pacific Division when it matters. And then maybe even meeting each other in the playoffs would be absolutely phenomenal. I think the province would implode if that happened, in a good way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. No question about it. A few other non-Oilers stories that I want to discuss with you. Did you, soccer fans, they didn't like the VAR equipment. It's all part of the soccer culture, but just going crazy after a loss is like such a soccer thing. Like, hockey fans get upset and they're like, oh yeah, this is terrible. But you don't see, like, the worst thing in Edmonton's been they threw a jersey on the ice once. Right? Like, that was the extent of the real venom. Oh, that's not true. There was a Facebook page once that had 8,000 followers that fire McTavish, and then 7 of them or 4 of them showed up when they actually had their rally. That's how serious it was. But, man, it's like European soccer and South American soccer, man, it's on a different level.
I remember that fire McTavish rally. It didn't turn out at all. But this happened in Brazil, and it was a match between Palmeiras and Grêmio. I hope I'm pronouncing that half decently. So the equalizer was called back on an offside. They went to VAR. It's there for a reason. It's pretty reliable. And this was a 60,000 seat stadium that was maybe 15-20% full, because they're still dealing with massive COVID sweeping through Brazil, obviously. And these fans went berserk and they stormed the field. They had to get riot police out there, and they were so mad that like six or seven of them, and there's video of it, just beat the crap out of the VAR booth and machine. Like, could you imagine fans at the World Series storming the field when the umps and the crew go to the review, and there's the person that's holding that big board with the headsets, and they storm those people and go crazy? It's ridiculous. Like, I know that the passion in soccer is through the roof. I respect it. I love it. I'm looking forward to seeing these games that happen here in Edmonton with our national men's team. That's great. But why do you storm the field? What do you get out of it? You're going to get arrested. You're going to get beat up. It's stupid. But it keeps happening, and it keeps happening in soccer. And I think it's Gremio, the host team. They might have to have 10 home games with no fans in the building. They already got fined. And on top of that, you've got these idiots or hooligans, whatever you want to call them, that probably spent the night in jail, have added to their police record, I am sure, and then just made their hometown city, hometown team, and themselves look like fools.
Did you happen to see... Is it Tim? I think it's Jeff Banks. His girlfriend has a monkey, and it became like this huge viral story last night.
This is the special teams coach for the Texas Longhorns, and I believe he's also an assistant coach, Jeff Banks. His girlfriend, let's call her an exotic dancer, okay? She owns a pet monkey. This pet monkey she does her performances with. There's video on her Instagram page of it. Or if you just look up Jeff Banks, it's all over Google right now. And she did a haunted house on Halloween. And the monkey bit a kid. And a photographer who covers college football but is not a reporter said that he's got good sources saying that the monkey that Jeff Banks' girlfriend owns bit a kid and seriously hurt this young trick-or-treater. And it's crazy because she denied that it hurt the kid seriously. Then she went and did a tour of what the backyard haunted house looked like and then said why the kid shouldn't have been back there in the first place. And her tweets and her Instagram posts are absolutely ridiculous, poor English, you know, all over it. And on top of it, the game yesterday, the Monday Nighter, got to a lull that they ended up mentioning this story. So I looked it up and I'm like, you got to be kidding me that this guy, first of all, you know, cool that you have a monkey, but, you know, check on the kid. And instead,
I don't even think it's really cool you have a monkey, let's be honest. I don't think a monkey should be
I don't
pets.
Know. But this lady is saying why she went to these lengths to do these videos saying, why were the kids back here? I put no entry on this cage. This is the monkey's home. And it's turned into a bit of a mess of a situation. Look it up. You know what? It'll give you a chuckle. Just look up Jeff Banks and you'll find it in 2 seconds on Google. And you'll be like, this is ridiculous. But in the world of sports.
Can we refer to her by her stage name, though? I think that's the best part
Please.
Of this story.
What is it, Connor?
Pole Assassin.
I didn't want to bring it up.
I think it has to be just for the story.
Pull us up. Jeez. Yeah. But yeah, like why Monday Night Football? That was the part that's really funny. Why they decide? Hey, let's mention a story about a monkey and an exotic dancer and a special teams coach in college that has nothing to do with the NFL. That's what I found. But I guess when the game was a little slow, hey, you know what? They could have talked more about was Joe Judge's decision. Like, you're never beating the Chiefs when you're punting on 4-1. And then I do want to talk quickly. Like, if we're going to talk about the story from last night, and I didn't even get into it with Strutty because he was having a good day. And so I didn't want to get into with him too much. But the fact that you have Joe Judge talking about how they've had issues with the headsets all season, which is why they've burned a lot of timeouts. They better get it fixed fast. So you're telling me, Joe Judge, the reason you've had to call all these timeouts at inopportune times is because your headsets aren't working? You're the only team in the league that's having this problem? And we're supposed to believe this? Like, what, is he a politician now? Like, oh my goodness. That's one of the more laughable excuses I've heard in a long time.
Oh, who had the blown call or the back-to-back timeouts in the mini game? Who's coaching mini right now? I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, Zimmer, right?
Zimmer.
And,
yeah, Zimmer.
And he even admit, but at least, you know what he did? He goes, yeah, I totally forgot I called the first one. He just owned it, right? He was, oh, we had a headset malfunction. Like, give me a break. Like, Joe Judge is taking the Giants nowhere. Like, don't come up with a lame excuse. Oh, yeah, we've had headset issues all season. So you would think after the first game you had that as an issue, you'd be like, we got to get this fixed. But now after game eight, suddenly you're going to talk about it. Like, give me a break, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what? Maybe Joe just needs to get Strutty's one of his Casio watches, man. Hey, here we go. It's got its alarm set on it. We know exactly what's going on.
Good to 100 meters deep, right?
Yeah.
You can go swimming 100
meters
bad
deep.
Boy.
Yeah. Hey, yep. You can go anywhere, Tommy. Tommy, have a great day, buddy. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg. See you tomorrow.